Well, shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to another broadcast of Understanding the Father's Love. And I'm, of course, your host, Rabbi John Atkins, and I am a senior pastor of Beth Hashem Congregation, and we're in Durham, North Carolina. I have as an honor and a privilege to have as a co-host this time, Pastor Doug. And Pastor Doug will be assisting me, and we will be discussing in understanding the Father's love. The question this particular time is pertaining to the joy of the Father, of our Heavenly Father, as well as the joy that a parent has when their child is succeeding, is prospering, is being built up and strengthened and embracing and maturing as a part of the family. So that's what we're going to be discussing. But before we do that, I'm going to pass it to Pastor Doug to be able to do our before Torah blessing, and I will pray, and then we will get started. Pastor Doug?
Thank you, Rabbi John. Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam asher kishanu v'mitzvotav v'afsianu la'asot v'devrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Amen. I pass it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for an opportunity to minister around the world. We thank you, Father God, that it's touching each and every life that embraces and says, yes, and I receive the engrafted word. Father, I thank you that in order for us to totally receive it, we have to purge ourselves. We have to allow that old man to die. And at this particular time, Father, I allow that to happen on this broadcast. We ask you to forgive us for sin, for iniquity, for transgression. We ask you to give us the strength to forgive others who have sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgression against us. We ask you to begin to fill us so full of your joy because you have forgiven our forefathers on our behalf as we petition you. And in doing so, on the third, all the way to the third and the fourth generation, we thank you, Father God, that you're fulfilling the promise that you promised us. And we receive that promise, not just for ourselves, but also for our children and for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We glorify you. We submit to you this broadcast and allow you to have your way. Expound, illuminate, exhilarate us so that we may be your children. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Pastor Doug, we're talking about joy, and not just any type of joy in this particular broadcast. We're talking about the joy that the Heavenly Father receives. And we get a glimpse of that in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 10 and 11, but especially 11. And I would love for you, if you would, please, for us to read that in the King James and in the Amplified and give us an understanding so that we can begin to start to grasp our mind around the Father's joy. Because too often, you know, we think of our Heavenly Father as God, which he is, of course. but we think of him from a standpoint of not being able to grasp him or to relate to him or to connect with him, because he's this awesomeness of a being that, you know, there's not really much in common between me and him or between us and him, which couldn't be further from the truth. Because if we are truly his offspring, then we have a part of him in us. We emulate him. And we'll talk about that, but let's go ahead and get into the passage of scripture at this time and then begin to make sure that we understand the connection oftentimes we don't have the perspective because we don't have the connection, even though God says, you are connected with me. Pastor Doug?
Thank you, Rabbi John. So yes, John 15, 11 in the King James, these things I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And in the Amplified, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing.
Mm. Now, come on now. I know that that resonated with you. So share what you felt just then, Pastor Doug.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget because of whether trials or tribulations or, you know, just normal day activity, we forget that his strength comes from his joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I keep thinking of this scripture. I'd have to look it up. But when I wake up, he is joyful over me. He sings or he dances with joy over me. I mean, his concept of, you know, loving little old me, I mean, it's amazing how much who he is. It's like automatic. It's like he can't help it, if I could even use those words for his omniscience and omnipresence and everything else. But words can't describe just how much he cares and loves and rejoices over us who he has created.
Amen and amen. And I'll tell you something that really blesses me with what you just said is we have lost our identity in him. We've lost who we are and the fact that we are his offspring. Can you go to Revelations chapter 12, verse 17? Because the adversary, he knows who we are. And he knows that our Heavenly Father gets joy over us and gets excited about his children when they do things that are representative of the family, representative of him, you know? And so we need to get that perspective. Once we get it, we need to keep that perspective because we lose it. We get caught up in this world, get caught up in the things of this world and the day-to-day grind and whatever is going on. And we miss the fact that eternity is waiting for us. And eternity is waiting for us with him. And that he has set things in order so that we can inherit his eternity. And that gives him great joy to know that he has eternity waiting for us. This is training ground. This is proving ground for us right now. And see, Satan knows that. And that's why he is diabolical in his assignment. And that's why his attacks are against us. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Both King James and Amplified. Pastor Doug?
Yes, sir. Amen. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And in the Amplified, so then the dragon was furious, enraged at the woman, and he went away to wage war on the remainder of her descendants, on those who obey God's commandments and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and adhere to it and bear witness to him.
So you begin to see right here, right now, and understand that the adversary is jealous over the offspring of God. He's jealous with God. He's jealous with where we're getting ready to go. He desires, has realized, and totally messed up without any opportunity to be reconciled. And understands that the best way to try to stifle the joy of God is to combat us. So we need to understand, we need to manifest the purpose of who we are. Because the Father loves us. The Father wants us to understand the joy that he has when we do what is right. When we begin to emulate him. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Both in the King James and in the Amplified, we get a glimpse here of our Heavenly Father in his total plurality. And he begins to talk within himself to himself about us and about what he is desiring of his children. You as parents out there, you can relate to this. You can understand how the Father's kind of sitting back and then saying, you know, this is what I perceive and see for our children. This is what the Heavenly Father is doing in this particular passage of the scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Pastor Doug?
Amen. And in the King James, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then also in the Amplified, and God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him, male and female, he created them.
Amen. So if you would like to, can you give me a reflection on what you see as far as being a parent and God being our parent and how he is setting a course of action for his children here? Pastor Doug?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Rabbi John. The reflection I get is, I think for every child and us as being his children is, I think the most, even though he's given us, you know, certain parameters, certain things to be able to do, and certain things to, you know, we are to take dominion over the earth and over the creeping things and, you know, every single thing. In other words, we are to, we have authority over those areas in the earth, so to speak. But I think that the key is being made in his image, he wants time is, you know, the things we do is the things we do, but I think time spent with him and one another is the key and critical factor. It seems like, you know, we were made in his own image. He created us male and female, not only to be one with one another, but one with him. And so that relationship, he gave us the ability to have fellowship with him and being obedient to what he wanted us to do here on the earth, so that we could relate to the environment or the animals or what have you, but we are also to relate and submit to his authority and spend time with him. That's the most critical thing, you know, I think a child or, you know, as a parent, you know, regardless of what you say, you know, to do whatever, you know, things you want them to do for you, whatever, it's really the time spent and how to direct them, how to encourage them, how to discipline them, how to make them aware that not only do you love them and care for them, but you're there when they do things correctly and you're there when they do things incorrectly to help gird them up and strengthen them and to even correct and punish. It's all about caring. And I pass it back over to you, Rabbi.
Amen and amen. So if you could give me a situation or for instance, a scenario where your children brought you joy in what they did and how it impacted you. And I'm going to share also out of my experience. And I'll let you go first, sir.
Sure. And just a most recent one, you know, is a one is just a small one. It's a Father's Day gift card or a Father's Day card, which is, you know, sweet and all that. But my son realized, you know, I love camping. And so he sent me a little care package, you know, in which, you know, I already had the items, but he sent me a vest, you know, like a little camping vest, a lantern, and some socks. And, you know, I treasure those, not because of the items, but because it came from him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've already got plenty of honey, you know, I've got everything. But it was just, it's the gesture of, you know, just, you know, it's the thought, it's the caring thought of, you know, I want to just bless you. I love you. And I just want you to know I was thinking of you. And it was just, it was a precious thing. And of course, I'm going to wear that vest. I'm going to wear those socks. And I told him, we called me and I said, guess what I've got on? He said, the vest. I said, no, the socks. And he just laughed. And so it's just that, you know, it's just the simple things, you know, it's time, you know, conversing, talking, and just, you know, kind of, you know, just being together and, you know, emoting together, I guess. And that's just the most recent incident. So it's just it's a pleasure to have that type of relationship. Amen.
Amen. I agree with you. I totally agree with you, sir, because recently I had a birthday and my daughter, who's very thoughtful and very eventful, pulled everyone together and I got a chance to be with all the grandchildren and with the children. And it was very relational. So this birthday was an opportunity for me to really interact and really connect and bond with our children and with the grandchildren. And everything was centered around me. And it really blessed me. And one of the biggest gifts was just her letting me know that you know, the wedding ceremony of what she is planning and involving me in that and announcing that during that particular time, knowing that that was very precious to me, because as a parent, as a you know, especially as a father, you know, you want to meet the person that your daughter is getting ready to marry, and you want to make sure that it's that he's the type of person that would love her the way you would love her, and you know, cover her and protect her and keep her, but also build a relationship, a strong relationship with her. And I just know, and my wife and I know that this is the right person for her and that that's all going to happen. But on my birthday, she kind of gave me that gift. And in giving me that gift of assurance and love, brought me great joy. It really did. It brought me great joy. I was very full of joy because of that, knowing that. It was just, yeah, it was a very special time. And I like what you said, Pastor Doug, about the quality of time that brings joy to a parent. I want to kind of, you know, really begin to go deeper in that direction, because our Heavenly Father, He wants that self-same joy so much so that even when we mess up, even when we blow it, when we just decide, you know, we throw our arms up in the air and just say, I quit, so to speak, you know, the Father never leaves us nor forsakes us. Yeshua says that. But one of the things, one of the stories that just kind of really sets me back in awe of how much love He provides is the garden experience, and just how through that the fact that he enjoyed being with Adam and with Eve so much that through their sin, iniquity, and transgression that they had committed, he still showed up. He still was there to spend quality time, which brings him joy. Too often we don't look at that. We don't look because we think of God. And yes, he is still God, you know, with the inflection and all of that stuff. But he also is Father. Just because he's heavenly Father doesn't stop him ever from being Father. Ever from loving the joy of his children, succeeding and submitting and embracing who he knows that they should be in the family of God. That's just so important. It is so valuable, not just to our Heavenly Father, because that brings him joy, but it's valuable because it's a part of our DNA. We literally have his DNA in us. And when he speaks, Pastor Doug, when the word of God, or the word of, let me rephrase that, when the word of our Papa speaks, that word speaks to our DNA. Now, Pastor Doug, I want to go back a little bit to when you were a child and when I were a child. When your parents spoke to you in a manner, let's say you did something that was very appreciative, very worth the value of you being blessed by them. When they blessed you, what went through your mind and your heart at that particular time? As a child.
Wow, this is going back quite a few years. I think the best gift they gave me, and remember, this is a while back, but I grew up in Texas, and so you know we had desert and all that kind of stuff, and so there were trails out in the desert, and so I would they had blessed me with a little mini bike. It's like a little 4 horsepower or something like that. And so I would, or five, anyway, I was able to just, you know, I was kind of a loner. I enjoyed being alone. So I would go and just ride the trails, you know, just little small trails, nothing major, not for a motorcycle, but flat enough and easy enough for a mini bike. And so, but it was just, I had great alone time. I was able to, you know, it was just, I think, you know, because I mowed the yard, because I, you know, I did all the little tasks, you know, pretty much that they had asked. And so, but they blessed me with that mini bike. And it was just I just really so appreciated that because I could get away from my sister. But that's another story. But it was just, it just made me feel like, you know, whatever you know, especially after that, I said, whatever you need me to do, you know, you want me to wash some cars, you want me to clean the window, whatever you want me to do, you know, I'll enter the trash twice a day, you know, but it just blessed me, you know, and I just wanted to be a blessing back. And I didn't use that phraseology, you know, back then, I wanted to be a help, you know, I'm a good helper, so to speak. And so that's kind of how they trained me. And so, you know, I wanted to help, you know, around the house or, you know, wherever I could be needed. You know, and that's how they kind of formed, you know, a good work ethic as far as in my life. And so that was really a blessing. One of the many blessings they blessed me with. Yes. Amen.
Amen. And I was just, I was amening twice. I was amening first that you are a great help spiritually as well as naturally, but also I was amening what you were sharing and how you shared it. In my situation, there were quite a few, you know, aha moments, if you know what I'm saying. But, you know, I remember one And I'd shared it before on this broadcast before, but in a different light. So, and that was when I finally got it as far as how to play baseball properly and how to, you know, in the very small little league that I was in, and hit the ball against one of the, in our arena, one of the leading pitchers of our time period during that time period. It brought tremendous joy to my father, and he was there. And the reason for that was because, you know, I didn't know how to play, and he was in the military, so he was gone a lot. So I just stood up there and just, you know, never hit the ball. Yeah, I never swung. You know, I just stood there and either walked or got struck out and back to the bench. And, you know, he was adamant about making sure that I learned how to play the game. So when he came to a game and that didn't happen, you know, he took it upon himself, which he ought to train me on how to hit it and just explain it to me and told me what I need to do and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, lo and behold, as it would be, we were playing the very best team in the league, and this pitcher just happened to be one of the best pitchers in the area, and probably in California, to be honest, for a little guy. He was pitching equivalent to 80-something miles an hour, which is crazy. But, I mean, he was not a small young man, and he was well-trained on how to pitch. And so he would have quite a few, you know, hitless games, you know, where nobody would hit off him. I mean, most of the little leagues were afraid of him because afraid they'd die if they got hit by the ball, if he had a wild pitch or anything. So, you know, my father was in the audience. He was there and he was cheering me. And I come up to bat, and, you know, everybody else other than my dad, well, my dad too, though, but knew that I just would never swing. I just didn't do that. And so no one was expecting me to swing. And very first pitch, boom, hit it right line drive because it wasn't because of how hard I swung. It was because how fast that ball was coming. But line drive down the left field line to the point to where I got on second, stand up without any problem. And I look back, you know, at my dad, and he's cheering, and people are just kind of, you know, giving him kind of like a high five, and man, your son hit the ball, and blah, blah, blah. And I looked, and I was happy, of course. But then when I looked at him, Pastor Doug, when I looked at my father, I saw the joy of a parent because of what his child had done. And I remember, and I go back in memory lane to that, when my children do certain things that emulate that very experience, I go back to that and I'm thinking, I wonder if my father felt this way, the way I feel about my children right now. And spiritually, I also think about our Heavenly Father. And I think about the joy that it brings to Him when we walk in His ways, when we interact in love with one another, and when we reach out to the lost to help them find their way. I often wonder, how much joy is this bringing Him? I know what the scripture says about what, you know, about the angels in heaven rejoice when one repents and comes back to the fold. But I wonder, Pastor Doug, I wonder how much joy does my Heavenly Father have in this area, in this category? And I'll pose that question to you, and I'll pass it to you at this time.
Wow. Yeah. When, yeah, I look back at the times when, and I kind of grew up in the same way as playing baseball and playing football. And my dad was a coach and for like the Optimist Club. And, you know, it's the same aspect. I mean, you want to please, you know, your parents or your dad. And I just, you know, it just reminds me of like our own children or my own children when they do something correctly. And it's an attitude of, you know, it's so much of it is attitude. Even if you fall short, you know, the remorse or the, you know, I'm really needing help, or, you know, it's the attitude of your son or your daughter. And then his attitude, our Father, Heavenly Father's attitude toward us is the same. It's, you know, I'm with you, you know, irregardless, you know, I'm here, you know, if your sins are as scarlet or if you, you know, bat 1,000, I'm here either way. It's better for you to bat 1,000 in following me, but even if you suffer the consequence of your sins being as scarlet, I'm still here. And that is such a, that's rewarding. It's very rewarding to see the kind of heart, you know, the Father God has for us and for me, and how to deliver that to our own children, to see them, you know, not to be in fear if they make a mistake or whatever, but to be able to come and be confident that you're going to build them and rebuild them. And I think that is the joy I see as far as, you know, we all make mistakes, you know, as parents, we make mistakes, but it's just learning to be, you know, in the moment, in the time frame of where they are at, particularly in their life. And the same with the Heavenly Father. You know, if we've been with him for a while, then, you know, we kind of know what he expects, and but how he reacts is still the same. It's still the, you know, compassion, kindness, you know, even in rebuke, you know, he's still kind and compassionate. It's just, that's hard. It's hard to, I think it's just, it's the way that you interact with him, how you see him as your papa. And so it does my heart well and glad to know that that's the way his attitude is toward me, and I can do the same thing to my children. It just blesses me, Rabbi.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and get the scriptures out based upon what we've already been talking about, just because, you know, it'll be a blessing and a reference for those that are listening. Let's go to Luke 15:10. Luke 15 and verse 10. And we're also going to go to Zephaniah 3:17. We're going to go to Luke 15:10 first, and then Zephaniah 3:17. So we'll be reading Luke 15:10 in both the King James and the Amplified. And Pastor Doug, whenever you're ready, you go ahead.
Sure. Let me. Luke is in the New Testament, so it's my new Bible. It's got new pages here. All right. Luke 15:10 in the King James. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And also in the Amplified, even so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one especially wicked person who repents, changes his mind for the better, heartily amending his ways with abhorrence of his past sins. Wow.
Yeah. And that should help us to understand the aspect of the angels and how they feel about when we get things right, you know, when we do what is right, both believers and unbelievers. Now, we're also going to go to Zephaniah 3:17. And in this particular passage, we're getting an understanding of our Papa, of our Heavenly Father. We're getting a look at what and how he gets joy with his children, with us, talking about us. So, in Zephaniah 3:17, in the King James, and also in the Amplified, we're going to be getting a glimpse of what brings joy to our Father. Pastor Doug.
Amen. And I will read it in the King James Version first. 3:17. Okay. Then the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I love that one. Then in the Amplified, the Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exalt over you with singing.
And you know what that tells me? Pastor Doug, that tells me that my Heavenly Father is more concerned about my doing what's right and getting it right than he is with all of the sins that I've ever committed or ever will commit. That doesn't mean that I don't be punished for what I've done, but what it does mean is that he is more excited. He throws a party. He throws a party and sings at the party that he throws for me, for you. He throws a party for you. He is, you know, just cheering you on. You know, now I know this may sound funny, Pastor Doug, but I've been at a ball game. Our oldest son, he was about 14 years old and 12 or 14. And he was up to bat and he was batting up against a pretty good pitcher. The pitcher had, split fastball and all of that kind of stuff and had quite a bit of good speed. The pitcher threw a fastball, breaking fastball, that broke in to the inside of the plate where my son was standing. And you got to picture this. You know, we're at a military base. We're, you know, military. So you've got, you know, rank structure there at the game. You know, you got the NCOs and you got the officers and, you know, their kids are all intermingled together, you know, playing together. So you've got them standing there. So there's a certain persona, if you will, that and an attitude, you know, poise of the way that you handle yourself, you know, in those arenas and everything. And they're all parents as well. So the ball comes in. It's a fastball, comes in. The fence is probably, it's the left field fence was probably about 390-ish feet. And center field was about 400. And then it was about maybe 350 in right field. That ball breaks in. And I mean, it's coming into the strike zone and it's coming in with a purpose, but it's coming inside. So it's really crouching it. And he likes to crouch the plate, you know, the way he bats. He pulls that left foot out towards third base and just totally nails that ball. I mean, you could hear that sound. There's a certain sound that you hear when that ball is getting ready to go over the fence, when it's a home run hit. And he made that ball made that sound. The bat and the ball made that sound. When it did, I'm telling you what, all of the persona, all of the professionalism, all of the attitude of being proper and in order and all of that went out the window with me and my wife. We, Pastor Doug, we ran. I'm telling you, after the ball was leaving, going up and up and up and out, we ran to the fence, and both of us, not just me, both of us started climbing about 3 feet of fence, screaming at the top of our lungs, screaming. Now you got NCOs, you got officers, you got all these people, then the parents, and all. We lost it. We were no longer amongst those individuals. We totally lost it. And we didn't even care, because that was our son. And that was the very first home run that he had ever made. And it was spectacular. It went at least 400 feet. It was at least. But the point of the matter is that when that happened, we just got so beside ourselves, you know? And then afterwards, because we had to climb down off the fence after we cooled down. Okay, all right. And we turned and everybody's looking at us and we just, hi, I don't care. That's our son. And we are going to celebrate him. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm reminded of that, because I'm reminded of how God wants to celebrate our victories. He wants to celebrate our joys. He wants to celebrate our accomplishments. He is more excited for you than you could ever be for him. I have to get perspective on that, Pastor Doug. I've got to remember that that is my Heavenly Father. And I'll tell you, when I kind of get in that zone, you know, these things that happen on this earth are, they pale in comparison. I can kind of relate to a degree, maybe not to the maximum degree, but I can relate to Paul. When, you know, he had that outer body experience, you know what I mean? And he was comparing being with God, being with his Heavenly Father, versus coming back to earth and finishing the mission. And he was saying, you know, it's not a hard choice for me. He says, but it's better for me, for you, not for me. He made it very clear. It's not better for me. It's better for me, for you, that I come back. Because the Father's saying, I'm not finished. I haven't fully accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished. But being with him, being in the joyous presence of him, and then singing with him, and him just enjoying that, that brings so much life. It brings so much revelation. It brings so much closure to all of the negativities and the diabolical things that are here on this earth and are yet to come, even to the different nations and our nation. His joy still is greater. It still causes us, and it should, to just illuminate from the inside. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's the illumination. You know, that's the pick-me-up, you know, that causes you to kind of go, wow, you know. But that wow is not a fake, fictitious wow. It's a spontaneous wow. Pastor Doug, have you ever been in a situation where something happens and the Father's there for you, and then you supernaturally get set free from something or whatever, and then that wow, you know, factor just comes out? I mean, I'll let you share, but you know, that the strength of the joy, it's not just words anymore. It becomes the reality of what happens to you. If you could share, I'd greatly desire to hear that.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Yes, thank you, Rabbi John. That it's, I think it's the reaction when you are just thinking thoughts, you're pondering something, and it's a question, it's something that you need to overcome, or it's a question you have in your heart, you don't have the answer, you've struggled with it, or what have you. And then you come either across a scripture, or he speaks to your heart, you know, or your mind, and it just, when you interact with him, this, the light bulb goes off, and you know his presence, and you know that it's the truth, then it just sets you free. It gives you liberty, and you're in wonderment. You know, 10 seconds before, you were deliberating about something, and then after your interaction with him, and you're able to receive that, quote, illumination, man, it just sets you free. It's like the shackles fall off, or the blinders fall off, or, you know, the earwax that you couldn't hear before, you know, opens, and you just see, hear, and understand, you know, what he is trying to say for my freedom in that area. And I know exactly what you're talking about, where you kind of explode and you say, oh, wow, this is what you meant, or this is how it's supposed to happen, or this is what has happened in my heart because of this. And, you know, it's like, you know, just something that you interact with him with, and he just levels the playing field for you, and he shows up and he explains it to you. Just, you know, I don't know how to explain it, you know, psychologically or whatever. You just get an understanding, and that understanding illuminates what's going on inside. And it's a freedom, like the chains kind of fall off, if that makes sense. And so, yes, sir, I would shout a hearty amen on that, as far as just, you know, knowing the intimacy and just being able to receive from him. It's just a joy. It's just, you know, it's a joy. Amen.
Amen. I receive that joy and understand it as well, you know. And I pray, you know, for those that are listening, that this joy, unspeakable and full of glory, this joy that gives you strength in your weakness, that gives you strength when you're going through, it gives you strength when you feel there's no hope for you. This joy will provide hope. It will provide strength. It will make you an overcomer, because that's who you're called to be. That's who you are. But it comes from your Father. Don't get disconnected from your natural father, your natural parents, and please don't get disconnected from the fellowship of your Heavenly Father. That fellowship with your Heavenly Father is paramount. Everything that you need, everything that you are desiring, truly desiring, is in that fellowship. It's in that relationship. It's in that building time to be quality with him. Oh, I pray that you are hearing the Holy Spirit right now. It's wooing you. It's wooing you. It's wooing you to give time. It's saying, I want to spend time with you. Just to have a meeting. Just to talk about how your day went. And how I can help you, and how I can help it be better for you. I want to impart who I am so that you can know who you are. I want to just have walks and talks with you. I remember a story in a movie. It's a true story. And it was pertaining to Jesse Owens and a part of his upbringing as a Olympian. And as he was being groomed by one of his coaches, the coach would tell him whenever he was having a rough time or frustration or whatever, they would go for walks. And they would talk, and he would be like, you know, why, you know, why are we doing this? And his coach would tell him, he'd say, if we walk enough, if we walk a little and we talk a little, Soon we will come to a place where we'll understand each other. Well, that's what the Heavenly Father is saying right now. Enoch understood that. Enoch had Methuselah when he was 65 years old. But then he began to walk with God for 300 years. And it came to a place where God took him. Because he came to that place where they walked a little and talked a little. Until Enoch began to understand God. The Father wants you to understand him. He wants you to know who he truly is and not who the devil or the adversary is painting him to be. Because that's a lie from a different father. Pastor Doug, we have come to the end of our time. And I'd like for you to close us out with your comments as well as the After Torah blessing and sharing with the others the information that we have, and I'll finish it off with prayer. I'll pass it to you, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi John. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with coming to a intimacy or a acquaintance or having a talk with, you know, our Heavenly Father and getting my side as well as getting his side and, you know, coming to terms of, you know, what I understand, because he is so patient, he is so kind, and he is so understanding. He reminds us that, you know, he knows and realizes we are but mere flesh, but that's what freaks out the angels, because they are with him all the time. And, you know, how can this clay, you know, be inhabited by the presence, be a tabernacle for the presence of Yah? And so, you know, it's learning how to just, you know, sit at his feet and just learn of him. And it does take some discipline. It does take some awareness, so to speak, but it's just, you know, being quiet before him, being still and knowing that he is Yah. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'd like to do the After Torah blessing, and then I'll give some information. Baruch atah Yahuwah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam natah b'keinu. Baruch atah Yahuwah noten ha-Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. We glorify you today. I just want to thank you for joining us today of understanding the Father's love. We're certainly glad that you've taken the time to engage in the study of Yah's word. We certainly encourage you to study these things as Bereans and see if these things are true for you. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, please email us at office@bethhashem.org. To find out more about us, please visit our website at www.bethhashem.org. That's BETHHASHEM.org. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zaka University, that is Z-A-K-K-A-H, University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies at courses.bethhashem.org. If you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can certainly make a contribution via Cash App at http://www.cash.app /$BethHashem. Or mail your donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And for those of you who have generously given, we say a hearty thank you. And so, Rabbi John, if I could pass it back over to you for our closing prayer, sir.
Yes, sir. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you and glorify your name. We magnify you and we look at you as Father as much as we look at you as heavenly. We thank you that you are our heavenly Father. We thank you that you are God, that you are Elohim, that you are the plurality of mind, will, and emotions of the greatest entity that there ever was, is, or will ever be. But we also rejoice in joy that you still look at us as your children and that you care about us and you care about the things that matters in our life. You get joy out of our overcoming. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you have placed within us your DNA, that we are complete in you, that we are the offspring of you, and that the inheritance that you have, you desire to give to us. And in that, Father, we thank you that that gives you more joy. Thank you for another moment, another opportunity to not just express the love that I have for you and the love that we have for you, but to share in you, sharing through us to those who are listening to this broadcast. In Yahushua's name we pray, in Jesus' name. And until the next broadcast, we say, Shalom, Shalom.